You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So for most of us, it's probably safe to say that it's just a headline that happened more than a week ago.
What?
The San Bruno explosion.
Well, yeah, it's
gas
far
main
removed.
That exploded in a suburb of San Francisco. But for the people of that neighborhood who watched their neighborhood go up in smoke, quite literally, it's an event very much in the present.
It just looks like a war zone. It's just, I've been there 45 years, so I've lost, not only have neighbors that have lost their homes, I have neighbors that have lost their lives.
It'll be creepy going back to move and live, you know, in a destroyed neighborhood, but, I mean, hopefully it'll get back to normal eventually.
So it's, you know, it's very traumatic.
Going back to a destroyed neighborhood to pick up their lives, that's what's going on in San Bruno at the beginning of this week. Joining us now is David Baker, energy reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, David.
Morning. How are you doing?
So let's remind people, 40 homes were destroyed, at least four people dead. What is the update on what the community is actually doing to try to pull itself together? It's been more than a week now.
We're still in that phase where a lot of people are trying to figure out exactly what needs to be done with their homes and where they can go. There are some people who are still displaced, but there are a number of aid organizations out there that are trying to help them.
How has PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, the utility that owned the gas line and was presumably responsible for at least monitoring the pipe that exploded, how have they done in dealing with the concerns of neighbors and the fears of other people in California?
They've tried very hard to sort of get out there in the community from the first day after the blast and just make a couple of their executives present at most of the press conferences that were being held with the police and the fire people. They've also set up a $100 million relief fund, although it's still not exactly clear how that's going to be paid out and who's going to get the money.
You know, the other part of this conversation is, for people who aren't Californians, Pacific Gas and Electric is a legendary institution in the state. And often it's the E in the PG&E that gets most of the attention, concerns about nuclear energy, et cetera, and the concerns about environmental issues related to nuclear power plants in California. But how does this add to the lore of PG&E, the institution that people love to hate in California? And again, we don't want to simply trash the utility, but it is definitely hoeing a tough row here.
It is. PG&E does have a very strange and complicated relationship with the people out here. I mean, there has been for many years sort of a hardcore of people who just absolutely despise this company. And yet, at the same time, it's deeply ensconced in all of our daily lives for most Californians. It covers central and northern California and does not cover southern California at all. But in addition to the people who really have a problem with this company, there are also so many people who have worked at it and also so many people who've owned that stock that people do have this strange relationship where they're very invested in it.
And it's a huge employer in the region of California that it serves. Lots of investors own the stock, as you mentioned. But you know, it's an unusual institution. In a lot of communities around the United States, the energy institution, the energy utility has been divested. It's maybe owned by, another company. There's a separate organization that owns the grid, another organization that owns the actual power production. PG&E has managed to retain its identity through all of this.
PG&E, yeah, it owns the grid. It still owns some of the power plants, not all of them. It had to get rid of many of them in our disastrous attempt at deregulation in the 1990s. But it's had this long running history of issues that sort of rub people the wrong way, and sometimes that comes to the fore, sometimes that goes into the background. You mentioned the nuclear thing. PG&E was at the center of protests for, well, actually a couple of decades around the building of one nuclear power plant, the Diablo Canyon plant in central California. More recently, it went into bankruptcy during the electricity crisis of the state, and its ratepayers had to bail it out to the tune of about $8 billion. That's what getting them out of bankruptcy cost the whole lot of us. Since then, things have been relatively quiet up until this year, but in the last 12 months, there have been a whole number of things that have really enraged a lot of people around California to this company.
Well, let's bring it full circle then, David Baker, energy reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. How is this reputation of PG&E going to complicate Californians' attempts to have faith that PG&E can actually effectively maintain the gas infrastructure that was responsible for this terrible explosion in San Bruno.
If you're talking about confidence, I mean, people don't really at the moment have a lot of confidence, but they don't have any choice either. I mean, one of the big controversies surrounding the company right now is they've been in the midst for the last several years of rolling out advanced electric and gas meters to be installed on homes and businesses, so-called smart meters. And starting about a year ago, there began to be a lot of questions about whether or not these things actually increased people's electricity bills. A lot of people were reporting bills that sort of went haywire as soon as the meters were installed. And even though there's been an investigation into the accuracy of these things, which more or less exonerated the meters, the investigation concluded that PG&E had really screwed up the rollout in terms of its customer service, and it had created even more distrust of the utility than had traditionally been there in the past. So now this coming in on top of that, there isn't a lot of trust in the company at the moment. There's not a lot for them to build on, and they're aware that they need to get that back.
Beyond PR, how confident are regulators that PG&E can maintain its 48,000 miles of pipeline?
Well, the regulators have traditionally been in a good relationship with them over the last few years, but yes, there's a lot of scrutiny going on right now, and I think it's going to be quite intense for the next several months.
David Baker giving us an update on the residents of San Bruno going back to their devastated community more than a week after the San Bruno explosion. Devastated 40 homes, killed at least 4 people. The relationship and the reputation of PG&E, the utility in California responsible for that disaster, moves forward. David Baker, energy reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.